You who have waited in darkness for the revealing of God's promise of hope, grace and peace be with you this night of joy. Some of you might know the comedian Bill Engvall. He would do a bit about signs. He described some fairly normal activity, like getting the car washed, and also someone making a rather obvious point about the whole thing, like, "Wow, your car's wet." And the punchline, as though some people needed their naivete pointed out, is simply, "Here's your sign." Now, not all of his references are appropriate for this kind of venue, but a couple of them are tame enough for church on Christmas Eve even, such as this one about Christmas lights. He says, "Well, I hung those little Christmas lights on my house, you know, the ones that blink on and off. My neighbor comes over to me and says, 'Bill, how do you get those to blink on and off like that?' I said, 'I got my son inside, plugging it in, unplugging it, plugging it in, unplugging it. Here's your sign.'" Or this one, it's not really technically a Christmas joke, but it seems fitting for Christmas in Montana. He said, "I shot me a deer once, and I hung it on the wall in the den in my house. My neighbor comes over and he says, 'Hey, did you shoot that there buck?' I said, 'Nope. The darn thing ran right through the wall and got stuck. Here's your sign.'" Well, the angels in the Christmas story aren't comedians by any means, but they do need to let the shepherds know about the obvious sign that awaits them. Waits for them when they rush into Bethlehem looking for this child of which they've been told. Where Engvall describes normal, typical, even mundane activities, the angels speak of a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-the-universe event. "To you is born this day the Messiah, the Lord." Which is why it's so strange that the sign that they give for how and where to find this unbelievably wondrous thing that has happened is so ordinary, so workaday, so bland. "You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." You probably never think about it this way, what with Christmas and the Christmas scene having been so romanticized. But I can imagine the shepherds being of two minds. On the one hand, their awe and fear at the appearance of messengers from God singing in the sky would have blown their minds. One would expect to be directed to a palace or a seat of power in order to see this blessed child. But no, a manger. What? A feeding trough for animals? And rags to swaddle the baby? "This will be your sign." Bill Engvall's point, made with humor through his jokes, is that the obvious almost always smacks us in the face when we're too busy trying to imagine ourselves more superior than we are. But the whole Christmas story is intended to knock us out of our comfort zones, to force us to see the folly in our pride, our achievements, our power. From Mary and Joseph, an unwed couple in the backwoods town of Nazareth, to the little town of Bethlehem, just on the outskirts of the more esteemed Jerusalem, to the shepherds sleeping under the stars, and a stable with all of the smells and gooey, oozing stuff that lurks in the corners and under maybe a fresh layer of straw. The Christmas story is about anything but power and influence and our own comfort. And yet there's something alluring about this sign, this way that the angels give to the shepherds, These instructions to search within the stables and amid the foul odors and for swaddling clothes rather than satin blankets. The shepherds don't think twice about it. Rather, they went with haste, rushing to find the child of world-changing renown. And when they find it, when the forces of cosmic power and earthly humility have merged in their hearts and minds at the image of a baby born to set the world free, when they have no choice but to tell everyone what they have seen, what they have witnessed, the miracle of how God has come into our world, not as a judge, not as a tyrant, not even really as a good person who can teach us how to live and be nice to each other, but as one of us who will feel our pain, share our grief, laugh and cry with us, live and die with us. And that's really what a Savior is, right? The world doesn't need another king or ruler. We've had enough of the latest fads that will make us happier or skinnier or wealthier or stronger or more attractive or maybe just at least a little less stressed out. Powers and influencers can only manipulate the moving pieces of this world so much before it becomes apparent that there really is nothing new under the sun. But a Savior, the Christ, meets us where we cannot help ourselves, where we cannot buy a product or fix a problem or improve our lot in life. The Savior that God gives will heal our wounds, free us from our bondage to sin, and give all the world eternal life. Only it will not be found in the places we expect. The Christ that we have been told has come this day, this Nativity, this Christmas, is a child we will find as we search amid the odoriferous places of our world, places fit not for respectable humans, but those deemed no better than animals, in people wrapped in nothing more than rags. So let us, like the shepherds, go with haste and find and see this Savior. Let us search the back alleys and the trash dumpsters. Let us look in places where dirty needles and empty fast food wrappers lay discarded. Let us not turn away from the person who is smelly and bloody and small and weak and wearing only bands of cloth. For that is the sign. The sign of our naivete and God's glory. It's a strange and unbelievable way to save the world, and a good news of great joy for all people. Amen.